I'm just going to recap just a couple of those verses, the main verses I'm going to be focusing on this morning. My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Can everyone hear me well enough? Is this microphone loud enough? Yeah, good, just checking. This week, several of us went to the Fresh Streams Conference, which is a Baptist leaders conference. And after I've spoken, I'm going to give a chance for any of you who came to Fresh Streams to share if there's something that stood out to you. But I thought I'd share first to get my bit out of the way, and then you can add to it. I didn't want you to nick my sermon, so... I have to admit that whilst we had an amazing time worshipping and hearing from God at Fresh Streams, I actually approached the conference this week in a bit of a grumpy mood, and it was all Kaz Cook's fault. Because to help Fresh Streams with bookings, she kindly offered that all of us going from Runton Baptist Church would share rooms. And I normally go to Fresh Streams and I get a nice double bed and an ensuite, and I was looking forward to a few really peaceful night's sleep, which are few and far between at home with Megan around. But instead I found out that I was going to have to share a room with Mark Holden. But looking back over the past few days, I'm actually glad that we ended up sharing a room. And there's two reasons why. The first is that I learnt at 4 a.m. on Tuesday morning that Mark Holden sings in his sleep. And not just that, he can carry a good tune. But the second reason is slightly more serious, and it's because sharing a room with Mark actually led to us talking on a deeper level about things that we might not normally talk about and share together. And we ended up talking quite openly about what God had been saying and doing for us over these few days at the conference, and particularly how God had ministered into areas of weakness and areas of struggle that we have. And I can't share Mark's story with you because that wouldn't be fair, but I can tell you a bit of my own experience. The theme of the conference was courage. And I found that some of the teaching on the first day was particularly helpful when thinking about courage. The speaker reminded us about what that word means. And she said the core in courage is the French word meaning heart. And so the word courage is literally about having a strong heart. She went on to say that when we discourage someone, courage is removed from them, and we weaken the convictions of their heart. But when we encourage someone, we add to their courage, and we strengthen the convictions of their heart. And for me, this really highlighted some areas of my life where I'd been particularly discouraged in the past. Growing up, I'd had a bit of a hard time in school. For about 3 years, I would say it was on the verge of bullying, and it was a really difficult time, and I think that was a real source of discouragement for me. I also grew up in a family that had quite high expectations when it comes to education. I had a sister who always got straight A stars in school, whereas I got quite average grades in comparison to her. And this always led to me feeling discouraged. And both these things I've just mentioned, I identify as things that have fueled quite an unhelpful thought that I've lived with in my life, that is the thought that I'm not good enough. And this lie has at times held me back from being and doing all that I can for God. In the reading we heard earlier, we heard a bit about the thorn in Paul's flesh. And for me, this has been a bit of a thorn. The focus on courage at the conference this week brought back some of these thoughts. But being able to talk openly about this has been massively helpful. And this week, through talking to Mark and a couple of other friends, and through prayer, God has met me in this area of weakness. And I've come away feeling really encouraged that God can and will use both my strengths and my weaknesses. I wanted to share my experience with you this morning because I think it's important to recognise that we all have areas of weakness in our lives, even the minister who stands at the front on the Sunday. Whether it's past hurts or health problems or relationship struggles or perhaps areas of sin or feelings of regret or guilt, and the list goes on. I was talking to Esther about the theme for this morning when I got back from Fresh Streams. And as we were talking, she had a picture. And it doesn't sound like a very positive picture, but stick with me. It was a picture of us as a church all walking into St. Peter's rooms as normal. But every person was carrying some kind of injury. One person had crutches, another had their arm in a sling, another had a bandage around their head. Every single one of us carries a wound or a weakness, whether that's physical or mental or spiritual. None of us are perfect. This also reminded me of a word that I had last week about heavy hearts. And I believe there are a few people in this church at the moment who are hurting emotionally for one reason or another. And God gave me that word last week and I shared it of a heart on a weighing scales. And I just believe that God wants to do something in the lives of those people who are hurting emotionally at the moment. We come together as the body of Christ, as a church family, each carrying our weaknesses. And so often we hide these things from each other and live instead with a sense of shame or guilt. But this morning I want each of us to be encouraged to embrace our weaknesses rather than hiding them. Because God says, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in your weakness." There was a Christian man who passed away last year. Some of you might know of him. His name is Jean Vanier. He was a French-Canadian man. And as well as being a theologian who wrote several books, he also founded L'Arche, which is a community. It has communities in 37 countries around the world supporting people with various developmental disabilities. Jean Vanier had an incredible understanding of what this passage means when Paul says God's power is made perfect in our weakness. And I think part of his understanding had come from so many years of working with people who had physical disabilities. In a book called Becoming Human, he wrote this: "Every person needs to know that they are a source of joy. Every child, every person needs to be celebrated. Only when all our weaknesses are accepted as part of our humanity can our negative, broken self-images be transformed." I might read that again just to give it a chance to settle in. Every person needs to know that they are a source of joy. Every child, every person needs to be celebrated. Only when all our weaknesses are accepted as part of our humanity can our negative, broken self-images be transformed. I think this quote really helps us to understand the importance of accepting that weakness is part of who we are as humans. And recognizing this can actually lead us into transformation. Then in another article called The Wisdom of Tenderness, Vanier writes, "We don't know what to do with our own pain. So what do we do with the pain of others? We don't know what to do with our own weakness except to hide it or pretend it doesn't exist. So how can we welcome fully the weakness of another if we haven't welcomed our own weakness?" Accepting our weaknesses not only leads to self-transformation, but it actually enables us to minister as well to the pain and weaknesses of others. Last year in Lent, some of us did the sanctuary course that Graham led, thinking about how the church approaches mental health. And one of the sessions in this course was about the stigma around mental health. The way we welcome and minister to those who are struggling with mental ill health is to actually recognize that we are those people, that every single one of us is on a sliding scale. And we may go through times when we flourish and feel well in our mental health, but we also go through times when we're struggling. But we begin by recognizing and welcoming our own weakness and our own potential weakness if we haven't felt too many of those times where we feel like our mental health has been languishing. We recognise our potential weakness so that we are able to minister to others in their weakness as well. And this is a model that actually God himself showed. He ministered to us first by experiencing and suffering weakness for himself. In Philippians chapter 2, verses 7 and 8, we read that God embraced the weakness of humanity by being found in nature as a man. And his weakness was displayed for all to see as he humbled himself to death on a cross. We not only believe in a God who understands what it means to be human and what it means to have weaknesses, but we believe in a God who lived it, who suffered weakness for himself. And we believe in a God who not only cares for our weaknesses and our suffering, but who actually endured it on the cross. God's power is made perfect in our weakness. And so we must accept our humanity, welcome our weaknesses, and allow God to walk with us through them and to even transform us. It's only then that we can truly welcome and minister to the weaknesses of others. And so as we look at 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and the life of Paul who wrote it, we see how he deals with weakness. And I want to pick out three things that Paul does to turn his weakness into his strengths. And those three things are that he speaks it out, he prays it out, and he lives it out. So the first is that he speaks it out. Earlier I mentioned how helpful it was to talk and be honest with Mark Holden and a few other friends at Fresh Streams. And I think we underestimate how important it is to share our struggles with others. I do actually think, I believe in that saying, a problem shared is a problem halved. In this passage from 2 Corinthians 12, Paul not only speaks about his weaknesses, but he boasts in them. He's keen to let people know the struggles that he's endured. He shows that it's possible for God to work through our pain, our suffering, and our weaknesses. Paul says he has endured prison, insults, hardships, persecutions, and difficulties. As well as this, he talks about having a constant thorn in his side. And by telling others about these weaknesses, he appears to actually be quite strong, I guess, in their eyes. His readers would have been amazed that after all that he's endured, he's still being faithful, still writing to them, still encouraging them, still egging them on. Sharing our weaknesses with others shouldn't be a shameful or embarrassing thing to do. But actually, it should be part of our normal Christian life within a church community. And I think actually that it's a sign of growth as well. Speaking out about our weaknesses disarms the power that they have over our lives. When we speak out about our weaknesses, it helps us to have perspective and to recognize what is true and what is a lie, what lies we're actually speaking over our lives. It also provides great opportunities to receive words of encouragement from other people as well. If we share what our struggles and our weaknesses are, someone else might say, actually, I see something different in you, or I want to encourage you in that, or I want to walk with you and support you in that. And then also by speaking out about our weaknesses, it encourages others to do the same. Other people won't share what they're struggling with unless we're willing to do that as well. So speak it out. The church is a safe place. If there's something you're struggling with today, please don't leave without finding someone to talk to about it, whether it's me or whether it's someone else. And don't underestimate the power of speaking out about our weaknesses. Paul went as far as boasting about his because he recognized that it was an opportunity for God's power to be revealed. As well as speaking out his weaknesses, Paul also turns to prayer. And at times, Paul's prayer was an individual prayer, a prayer that he prayed on his own. And we see in this passage from 2 Corinthians 12 that he talks about how he pleaded with God to remove the thorn from his flesh. And then at other times he asks other people to pray with him. Like in Ephesians chapter 6, which is a passage all about spiritual warfare and putting on the armor of God. At the end of that passage, Paul asks the church in Ephesus to keep him in their prayers. And twice in that passage, he asks them to pray for courage, that he may declare the gospel fearlessly. One thing that I think is important to recognize is that God's answer to our prayers aren't always what we expect and perhaps aren't always what we want. Paul's prayer for the thorn in his side to be removed is a good example of this, because God doesn't remove it. Paul learns to live with it, acknowledging that God's power is made perfect through his weakness. And this also reminds me of the prayer of Jesus as he suffered in the Garden of Gethsemane the night before he was crucified. He prayed, "If it is your will, God, would you take this cup from me?" Jesus prays for this burden to be removed, but God had a greater plan for Jesus, in which his death was necessary to defeat evil, to end suffering, and to bring about salvation. Whilst Paul's thorn and Jesus' cup aren't removed, their prayers show us that we can approach God honestly and boldly, asking him for what we need. On Monday mornings each week at 9:30, we have prayers at the Hub. So if anyone wants to join us, you're more than welcome. We always pray through the first few verses of Psalm 103, which says, "Praise the Lord, my soul, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion." And I think we should be praying with the belief that is shown in this psalm, that he will forgive our sins, that he will heal our diseases, that he will redeem our lives from the pit and crown us with love and compassion. There's no sin that God can't forgive, no disease that he can't heal, and no situation that he can't redeem and transform. And so as we pray, we present God with our requests. But we also say the words that Jesus prayed in the garden, "Your will be done in this situation." If anyone is sick, we should be praying that God would heal them. If anyone is living, well, we're all living with sin, perhaps guilt and unforgiveness, then we should turn to the God who forgives. If we find ourselves in any kind of pit, whatever that might be, we should be praying that God would redeem us, that he would lift us up and crown us with his love and compassion. And later in the service, there'll be an opportunity to receive prayer into any of these areas or anything else. And since we all have weaknesses, then I'm sure we all have something that we need prayer for today. And then finally, Paul lived out of a place of weakness. He practiced what he preached, and he allowed weakness to be a part of his life. He didn't hide his struggles. He didn't run from them. Instead, he surrendered to God. He lived for God's will and not his own. And God's power was revealed through his life and through his weaknesses as well as his strength. Paul's way of life reveals a radical way of living as a Christian community. He encourages us to live as broken people with all our weaknesses, faults, and imperfections. He reveals the transforming power of God, who is able to heal and forgive and redeem, and who walks with us using our weaknesses as a display of his power. Paul endured many times of weakness in his life. He started out as a murderer and a persecutor of Christians, and God changed him. He went blind and God restored his sight. He went to prison and God set him free. He had a thorn in his side and God walked with him through it. Paul was actually eventually killed for his faith, which is really the ultimate weakness, or appears to be. But again, actually, In his death, God's power was revealed because he became a martyr of the Christian faith. And God's power is still being revealed today through his story that we read in the letters in the Bible. And so how are we going to live? Are we going to hide our weaknesses and our struggles, allowing them to actually have power over our lives and to bring us down and hold us back? Or will we be a radically vulnerable community of Christians, speaking out, praying out, and living out our weaknesses so that God's power will be made perfect in us? Let's speak out, breaking the hold of lies over our lives, acknowledging the truth and receiving encouragement. Let's pray it out, boldly seeking the presence of God to walk with us and even forgive us, heal us, redeem us, and transform us. And let's live it out, walking with God in our weakness, allowing his power to be made perfect in us. I want to end with a few more quotes from John Vonnier because I find him really helpful on this subject of weakness. So here are a few more things that he says. Growth begins when we start to accept our own weakness. I'm struck by how sharing our weakness and difficulties is more nourishing to others than sharing our qualities and our successes. I think that's a really big one. I'm struck by how sharing our weakness and difficulties is more nourishing to others than sharing our qualities and successes. And then he says, but let us not put our sights too high. We do not have to be saviors of the world. We are simply human beings, enfolded in weakness and in hope, called together to change our world one heart at a time. And so speak it out, pray it out, and live it out. And God's power will be made perfect in our weakness.